Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me peace from the Father supply. Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me peace from the Father's supply. Heavenly Father, once again we come together, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. And we can only do that, Lord, in your presence, when you are there, Lord, when the Spirit is there, when the Word is there. And Lord, when that is living and alive. Lord, we ask that you would just take the furtherance of this service tonight, that you would speak to our hearts, knowing in the flesh we're so unworthy, Lord. But Lord, we're not coming with our righteousness or our worthiness or our reasoning or our thinking, Lord. But we're looking to thee, the author and the finisher of all revelation. Lord, may you have your way now. We commit each one to you, every heart, every soul. For we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. So good to see you tonight. And once again, we're happy to be here. And I want to say I left it in here, so it went out on the air. That I wanted to apologize first thing because the statement that I made on Sunday. About the book of Revelation. The Brother Gumbel was saying, it's not, and I just was saying it wrong. So you forgive me for that. Some people try to make it that way, but it's not that way. It's not in chronological order. And so you look at it, and there's no way that it can be. You can take part of it, and some things, you know, Brother Branham talked about Revelations 5, 6 through 8, he said, that's following Revelations 4, 2 and 3 and 9 and 10. And so there's parts there, the first three chapters are the church ages and those things, so we know that. But then as you go along, you see those things, it just doesn't work like that. So you forgive me, and sometimes if I say something off, you bring it to my attention. Because I can make a slip of speech, and then sometime I can forget to come back and say it. So you're not going to hurt my feelings. You feel free. Feel free. And so there's not a... I don't want to ever have ego problem. That's one of those things that's really hard for preachers is to get to that place where... a lot of times people are at fault thinking that the preacher don't have faults. And then what's worse than that is when the preacher gets to thinking he don't have faults. And so we're all on the same playing field. We're all right together. We all are living in a flesh that has problems, that makes mistakes. And so we recognize that. What we want to do is recognize the life that's living in each one. And so if we can do that. Now, I feel like, I guess I always feel like I'm coming with something different or strange. And this is actually part of where I said I was heading a couple weeks ago. And then I have for the last few service had laid this aside. And I already had other quotes, what I was going to preach. And then a couple hours ago, and just the whole thing turned around. And I came back to where I was going. And so... I just been trying to put it in there. So I'm going back in Hebrews chapter 13, and I'm going to read a few verses of scripture there. And then I'm going to go to the message, Going Beyond the Camp. And that was a message Brother Branham preached, and he said, you know, it's an odd message, a strange message, different. And maybe all of them are. Maybe all of them are for when you come into the revelation, then it's not your what the world looks at as a message. They have this, we call it nominal. It's a nominal. You can, if you've been out and about and you've talked to people, you can hear a person pray, and you can discern a nominal prayer. You can discern a nominal message. You can discern nominal conversation. I'm not saying that with the criticism or in a bad way, but it's just you can tell sometimes a level where a person is just by listening to them talk. And so it's not, like I said, not criticizing. We're only as far as God lets us be, and we know that. But you still... you have discernment, whether you realize it or not. Every one of you that God has given revelation of this message, you have discernment. And you can discern things that sometimes you don't think about until you're in the situation. And then you find yourself, many times you hear somebody preaching something, maybe something you haven't heard before, and there's one or two things that comes to your mind. And one is you see it going through the scripture. It doesn't prove it yet, but you see it tying in the scripture, or you don't see it at all tying in the scripture. And so if you think you see it there, then you're asking God to let you see that thing. And you know, unless it's thoroughly proven. Once it's thoroughly proven, then you know what it is. And so, but when somebody's just talking and it's something you haven't studied or something you're not sure of, then you're waiting for it. You're waiting for it. You're discerning that you're hearing, and you know where to find the answer. And so I want to get right into this, because there's no way I'm going to finish tonight, and I don't know if I'll pick it up, but I have a lot of quotes here. It's just out of one message, Going Beyond the Camp. And so you can read it later. Unless we feel led, I might come back to it. So, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Now, the first thing he says is, don't be carried about with different and strange doctrines. Don't be carried about it. And we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. We and Brother Branham, we had the message, and I still have some quotes there in that message, spiritual food in due season, that I'd really like to read. You can listen to the message. It's a great message. He's really unfolding there that we have something that they don't know anything about. He's talking about the secret food. And it's only in this day that this secret food has come. It's because it's in due season. It couldn't have been in any other time but this time right now. And so Brother Branham made that so clear. And I was trying to study today, and I thought I was going somewhere else, and I listened to the message of the breach between the church ages and the seven seals, and that message, Brother Branham, is he's trying to get the people to see that this, it's time now, that this thing that's happening now is, it's time in God's timing, that these things that are coming now, this is a total change, this is a complete change that's being introduced to the world. That's what was happening. He was introducing something to the world that had been spoken 2,000 years ago and was predestinated to be revealed in this last day. And all those things that was happening, the prophet was, he didn't know what to do. He thought one time, he thought he was going to die. He thought he was going to be blew up. He didn't know. He was just a man, just like Moses was. And just like each one of us, we struggle. We struggle day by day by day. We struggle because we're in the flesh. And because we have this mind that's always working against the revelation. But God is still moving you and still pushing you to bring this thing to pass in your life. And that's what he's doing. You're here for manifestation. For manifestation of the attributes that God predestinated to come forth in you.
That's right.
That's it. Yes, can't be anything else. It God purposed. When he made you for a purpose.
Amen.
And he put you in this age because it was this message, it was this secret food that you were going to partake of, and it was going to manifest in you, and it was going to display the attributes of God.
That's right.
Just like Christ was the attribute, just like Moses was the attribute, just like all the rest of them was such exactly what you read in the message and in the Bible, you are the exact same thing.
Amen.
Only for this day, in the climax of all of it.
Yes, sir.
That's what God put you here for. And you can't be nothing else.
Amen.
That's why they started throwing off and saying that the cloud, the prophet wasn't there and this, and they make this and they make that. And pretty soon people are going away and going away. And you're just looking at them like, what's wrong with you people?
Right.
The same thing Paul was telling them.
Yeah.
Right there in the Ephesian church age, he was saying, where are you going? You would have done anything. You would have plucked your eyes out and gave them to me.
Right.
Now, what's hindered you? Where are you going? What's happened? Huh? Satan's on his job. He's on his job. He was on the job all the way through.
That's right.
All the way through. He thought in the dark ages, 68 million, he thought he had won. He thought, this is it. I'm going to take every single one of them out. But then the Spirit came upon the Word.
Yes, sir.
And it began to resurrect the Word.
Amen.
And that Word began to come to life.
And
that life was ordained, those attributes were ordained to be manifest in the people of that day.
Yes.
And it just come a little bit, and a little bit, and a little bit. And pretty soon, they were traveling around the world, in missionaries. Then in the age of brotherly love, Wesley's day, they were just going, everybody was becoming, they just wanted to get the Word of God out to the people.
Amen.
And they didn't have very much. And today we have it all, and people aren't even interested in it.
Right.
They don't care about getting it nowhere.
Right.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
They had so little bit, and they were just traveling the world.
Right.
Now we can travel the world in 24 hours.
Yes,
and it would take them months and months and months on a ship.
Right.
And you know they got sick.
Yes, sir.
You know, you go out to sea for months at a time, there's not many people who ain't going to be sick. Because that's what it does to you. You're just like that all the time, all the time. We've been on a couple fishing trips, just one whole day out there, and people hanging over the sides, hanging over the sides. Yeah, it's just amazing. Some of them didn't get 2 hours away from the shore, and they were already. I thought I was doing so good. It was way late in the day. And I thought, man, I done whipped this thing and I'm tougher than what everybody's hanging over. I'm thinking, I'm tough. And here it come. Brah. Hanging over the side. It's they paid a price.
Yes, sir.
And we got it so easy.
Yes, sir.
We got it so easy.
Mm.
And I tell you, this country, it's becoming so weak. It's becoming so weak. We've been working for Joe over here, and I come home the other day, and I was telling my wife, and Bosworth had told me at work, and he's really tough. He's just really tough. And the other day, he got stung 3 times by a yellow jacket, and then worked a 12-hour day, 11-hour day, and then another 12-hour day or 10-hour, whatever it was. using this hand all day long that was swollen up and never complained. And so I think it was maybe yesterday or something. One day we were working and we were going to take a break, and he looked at me and he said, "I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying this." And I thought, I am too. But I'm way older and he's way younger and he's way stronger. And so I got home. I was telling my wife about it, and I said, "You know, this isn't as bad as they've made it up to be. You know, it's not as hot. Of course, the weather's good right now, and that's why it's not so bad. But I said, it's not so hot, and it's not so this, and it's not so that." And so I was telling her, you know, just kind of working off of what Bosworth said, and how I said, "You know, it just really isn't much and so bad." And then I went to get in the shower, and I realized I'm aching all over. And I come back out, and I said, "And by the way, my whole body's in pain." But you know, at my age, to be on my knees all day long, be crouched down all day long, it has an effect on you. But I've enjoyed it, and I've enjoyed working with Bosworth and with Joe and seeing the girls, and it's been good. It's been good for me. And we just realized that we must be walking miles, because we're walking from one end to the other end and from the front to the back, and this place it's just so big. And so I didn't even think about it. And one day we were walking along, and I said, "You realize we're walking miles?" He said, "Yeah, miles." And so it's been really good. It's really good. So maybe I'll toughen up a little bit as we go along. But those things, you get soft. You get soft. And that's what happens to Christians. Christians get soft. You get out of the habit of spending time with God. You get out of the habit of praying and reading and spending that time. And if we get to it in this message, Brother Branham, he talks about, he said, you go back 3,000 years. And he said, people were talking to God. He said, God was talking to people. You go back there and read it. He said, Moses talked to God. He said, Abraham talked to God. Adam talked to God. Huh? They were in constant fellowship. He said, why isn't God talking to people today? Is it because God don't want to talk? No, he wants somebody to talk to him. He wants somebody to have fellowship with. People have gotten to think that God don't talk. They think like he's a silent God, or he's on vacation, or he's gone somewhere. He's not.
That's right.
He's just alive. And his word, whether we recognize it or not, his word is being fulfilled every single day.
Yes, sir.
Every single day, God is moving. God is fulfilling the promise of this day.
Amen.
Some days, you'll be all excited. You'll see something, or you'll do something or feel something, and you're all excited about it. You say, praise God, he's doing something. He's doing it every day.
Yes, sir.
So they're not just doing that day because something good happened to you or you feel good today. It's happening every single day.
Amen.
Brother Ram said, that's why you need to wake up talking to him, praising him, thanking him.
Yes,
you know what that is doing? It's recognizing. It's recognizing that he's there.
Yes, sir.
It's recognizing that you're in his presence.
Amen.
That's all that's doing. Right. And when you don't recognize him, what are you expecting?
Right.
What are you expecting him to do?
That's
what's wrong. This is what's wrong with people.
Amen.
We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. I don't care how good of preachers they are. I don't care how much they know, how much they can memorize, how smart they are, how anything that they are. They don't have a right to this. This, God made this for the bride, only for the bride. Nobody gets into this.
Amen.
No, this is locked.
Right.
This is for nobody else.
Yes, sir.
For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. They're taken out of the camp and burned there. Right? For wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, he suffered without the camp. Right? He was taken out. Now let us. Now this is our invitation right here. This is an invitation. He's inviting you to do this. God's not beating you into something. God's inviting you. This wedding, this marriage, it's an invitation. God's invited you into Him. That's what He's done. This claiming, He's claiming what He had in His mind. He's claiming what He predestinated. And He predestinated it. And this is something I tell you, Brother Goomba, Brother Michael, I've been feeling weak and wimpy for a long time. And I'm tired of feeling that way.
Yes, sir.
I'm tired of it.
Yes, sir.
And there's so many ideas. There's so many ideas. And Brother Goomba and I talked about this a couple years ago. And there was an idea that was passing through, and it was coming so intellectual. We're like, it made me feel like I didn't know the message. And Brother Goomba said, made similar statements. It made me feel like I need to study. I'm not getting this. I'm not understanding this. That this, you know, but this is being presented like this is life or death. And so, you know, we looked at it and we'd take the quote, and it wouldn't work. You know, it'd go this far and it wouldn't go all the way. It'd go this far and it wouldn't go all the way. And after a while, you know, I just thought, something's wrong here. There's something wrong. And now, after a couple years, and it shouldn't, I feel like it shouldn't take that. It shouldn't take that. I think I should be further along. I'm talking about me. I should be further along than that. I feel bad about it. And I'm convinced that these little doctrines, and I pray to God that I don't get them, that I don't come up with some of that stuff, that I don't get into that junk. It's just the grace of God that keeps us from that.
Yes, sir.
It's the grace of God. I can do it just as good as anybody can do it.
Yes, sir.
But I'm praying that God keeps me from it.
Amen.
Because that stuff is just, it's distracting people.
Yes, sir.
It's distracting the people from the real revelation.
That's right.
And that's where God wants us.
Yes.
He wants us in this revelation of Himself.
Amen.
And Satan is working to pull the people and confuse the people and pull them this way and pull them that way.
That's right.
We got to get steady.
Yes, sir.
We got to be positive. We got to be sure where we're standing at.
Amen.
And we're not going to get it if we're just in the message once a week.
Right.
We're going to get in this thing all the way.
Right.
You got to be in it all the way.
Yes.
It's got to be a life.
That's it.
That's we keep talking about somebody, everybody's talked about it. I'm saying maybe they don't talk so much about it, but it's just like diets. For all those years, people was on a diet, was off a diet, was on a diet, and you lose 3 pounds and you gain 4, and you lose 5 pounds and you gain 7. And it's a lifestyle.
Yes.
It ain't going to work until your lifestyle changes.
That's it.
If your health is bad, if you're diabetic, blood pressure, and those are the things now that are killing people.
Right.
Those are the things that are killing people. And it's in those countries that didn't have it before. Those countries where the people were strong. And why is it there now? Because they're eating the same junk.
Right.
They're eating the same junk that you're getting right here.
Yes, sir.
That's right. They're processing it. They're adding. The people don't even realize it. They don't even realize it.
Amen.
You can't hardly buy peanut butter now that don't have sugar in it.
That's right.
Why? And I'm not... It's only one my wife will eat. She likes Jif. And it's got sugar in it. And I'm just saying. It's the same in Kenya. When I first went there, they had only had two or three peanut butters, and they were all pure. And now they got about 10 peanut butters, and you'll have a hard time finding one that don't have sugar in it. You have to look now for the juice that's 100% juice. Just because it says Del Monte on it, that don't make a juice. It says blend or it says drink. It's not juice. They put a little bit in there. Why, especially if you've been to Kenya, why would you have to add sugar to pineapple juice? You don't. It's already sweet. God sweetened it. So when you read the label and it says they put sugar in there, guess what? They took the good stuff out and they're sweetening the junk for you.
Right. That's right.
That good stuff went to somebody else. You're not getting it.
Right.
I don't care how pretty the label is. That's what's wrong in the message today. They've got a lot of pretty things going on. And it's distracting people. It's distracting them. See, let us go forth, therefore, unto Him. Huh? Let's get out of this camp and let's get into His camp.
Right.
Let's go, therefore, unto Him. Where are we going? Right into the kingdom of God. And this is a spiritual kingdom. This is a spiritual revelation. This is a spiritual relationship between you and God. This is something God wants. God's been calling for it. God predestinated before the foundation of the world. And Brother Branham said, in Christ the mystery of God revealed, this is His eternal purpose.
Yes, sir.
This is God's eternal purpose to have a bride of His own choosing.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Just like men choose their bride today. That's what He said.
Amen.
Not you choosing Him, Him choosing you. That's predestination. You turn it and shake it and twist it any way you want to. That's predestination. God chose you before the foundation of the world.
Yes, sir.
Before you had any thought or knowledge or comprehension, before you had anything, God already chose you. God already saved you. God already declared that you were His.
Yes, sir. That's right.
That's good enough for me.
Right.
Amen.
That's right. I don't have to act like this is dependent on me if I accept it, if I do this, or I do that. No. God's doing this. Even in all of my faults and all of my failures and all of my mistakes, God is getting it done. He's seen it before the foundation of the world and nothing is hindering Him. Let us go forth, therefore, unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. See? That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Praise be to God. Amen. This message, it's got to be getting more real to us every day. It's got to be getting more important to us every day. It's got to be getting more real. It's got to be getting more urgent. It's got to be something that's burning and growing. Just like a woman. Because Brother Branham said that we are impregnated by the Word. And we are reproducing Him.
Yes,
we are bringing forth Him.
Yeah.
And that thing has got to be growing in us.
Right.
That life has got to be growing in us. And we got to be feeling it. We got to be knowing it's happening.
Yes,
sir. This, God makes it known.
Right.
When that thing is alive in there, you know that it's alive.
Yeah,
and
right.
It's pushing you.
Yeah.
It's pushing you. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. All right, we're going to get into this message now. This is paragraph 33. For instance now, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, But back and forth across the nation, I have condemned women wearing their short hair. That's the Bible. Huh? That's not even the revelation of this day. That's the Bible. That a woman don't cut her hair. And when a woman does, that's prostitution. That's not physical prostitution, moral prostitution. Brother Branham said that is spiritual prostitution. And she dishonors her head. Now that's the Bible. I've condemned women wearing shorts and using makeup. And every year it gets worse. And it shows that there is another finger somewhere. Huh? There's another finger somewhere pointing them somewhere else. That's what's wrong. There's too many fingers pointing people in different directions. And it's confusing people. See? Pointing them some other way, and they're not getting through to Christ. See? And they say, well, we belong to church. See? Don't make any difference what your church believes. God said that it's wrong. And if they get that through, and if they did get through to Christ, they would stop that. Huh? Is that right? They would stop that. That's right. And not only that, but man would take his position if he got through to Christ and be against it. And this is the problem. This is the problem in America. That's the problem in America. The men are not taking their position. That's what's wrong. The man, God put the man to be the head. And when the man is the head, then he's going to be the one to straighten that thing out. I remember several years ago, a brother got married to a girl, and he really loved her, and they made a good couple. But one day they were fixing to go somewhere, and she walked out with this leather skirt, like something you'd see on the street. And she said, "I'm ready." He said, "No, you're not." He said, "I'm not taking you anywhere like that." And she said, "Well, what's wrong with it? It's long enough." She said, he said, "You're not wearing that." That's what we need. We need men to stand up. Right. Brother Branham said, if your husband lets you do that, he's not a son of God. Think about it now. So when you're picking your husband, if you get one, if you want a son of God, or you want one that's going to let you do that stuff, make it easy on yourself. See, and not only that, but man would take his position if he got through to Christ and be against that. Husbands wouldn't let their wives act like that. Genuine man don't want his wife acting like that. I was bragging to my wife several months ago, and I told her, I said, "You know, we haven't been preaching on the women. We haven't been preaching on the clothesline. We haven't been hitting those things." I said, "I'm so glad. I said, I'm so glad that I feel like I'm delivered from that, and I really put forth an effort to stay off of those things, Brother Gumba. Really, Brother Michael. I put forth effort to leave, just leave." I said, "We don't need that." I said, "We're past that." And in the last couple of months, I've hit about three or four times, it keeps coming back. And it keeps coming back. And at one service, I was feeling bad. And I had two people come to me after the service and said, "Thank you. I need that. And I want that." That lets me know who's doing it. When I don't want to do it, he's still getting it done. Still getting it done.
Yes, sir.
Brother Gumba said the same. He stood right here before and said, "I don't want to do it. But he's put it on me to do it, to say it."
That's right.
It's got to be done.
Yes, sir.
When God wants it done, it's got to be done. If it's just me wanting to do it, then it's not going to do it right. It's not going to come out right. It's not going to come out right. When God's doing it, it's going to come out. And the reason I'm reading it tonight, you're going to see in a minute, I'm reading it for a purpose tonight. It didn't just happen to be in there. I'm reading it for a purpose because I want you to see something. A young fellow here in the city the other day liked to have killed two young boys. They were at a certain filling station in Jeffersonville. He said the other day, so this was 64 or before sometime. This was in the 60s, okay? So those of you that are native here, in the 60s, the women wore dresses, like it was when I first started going to Kenya. The women wore dresses. It was very rare to see this stuff. But it was just being introduced. What you see now in full bloom, and you see how bad it is, how ridiculous it is, it was in its infancy. There, it was in its infancy then. Now it's gone crazy. See, and this young girl run into a filling station with nothing on, hardly at all, and two young men sitting there made a remark. And the attendant liked to have killed the two boys and was arrested for it and put in court. And the judge asked him, see, why did you? She dressed like this. He said, I think she looks cute. And now there's something wrong with the man. Same as the woman dressing like that, there's something wrong with the man now that's okay with that. The problem is, and I'm going to tell you, and I wherever it goes, that's where it goes. The problem is today is that spirit has got on the women that they like it when men are talking like that to them. The women today think that's a compliment when it's an insult. And when a man is coming and talking to a woman, especially a married woman, and talking sweet to her and talking this to her, do you know what he's doing? He knows that you're married. So that means that you have the potential to be a prostitute. That's what he's saying. You're thinking, oh, well, he just thinks I'm pretty and he thinks I just... No, he thinks that he could get you to do this that you know is wrong. That's really strong, but that's exactly what he's doing. When he's hitting on you, and he knows that you're married. As far as I'm concerned, he's calling you a prostitute. So there's something wrong with that man, see? His love to that woman couldn't be genuine. And putting her out there for dog bait like that, there is something wrong. Has man ever come to the realization that they could judge between what's right and wrong? This is what's wrong. The people have come to the place they can't judge between right and wrong.
That's right.
That's why you get back to the old people. You have to really look a long ways here in America now to get to those old people. But you talk to them and they tell you how bad this is. The problem is that young people have come up in this and it's normal.
Yep.
It's the same thing in other countries. It's the same thing in Kenya. Same thing in India. The young people have come up with these things being natural, normal.
Yes, sir.
And so they don't see anything wrong with it.
Right.
You get back in the bush and you let these elderly women and these elderly men coming from the villages, they see that stuff and they just shake their head. It's a disgrace. It's a shame.
Amen.
But it's come to the place where people don't think so anymore.
Right.
Brother Branham said, if it was a disgrace 100 years ago, it's still a disgrace today. Did you see the new bathing suits they brought out? Do you know my prediction that woman would finally come to fig leaves? 33 years ago. 33 years ago. Subtract that off of 64. Huh? 33 years ago, this is the reason why I'm reading it. This for this right here. Because our prophet prophesied. He seen it before it came to pass. So if you had it in your mind that this has just always been here in America, then get that out of your mind.
Yes, sir.
This was prophesied 33 years before it came to pass.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And now it's in every country around the world.
Yes, sir.
It's gone to every country. I've been misunderstood in other places. Africa, India, different places. And I'm okay. I'm okay with that. And I'm sorry. And the problem is, people think that I'm taking up for America. I'm not taking up for America. America is the worst one. She's the worst one. Mark it. Mark it down in your book. She's the worst one. What I'm trying to get them to see is the very thing that they're condemning America, they don't see it in their country. They're blinded to it. It's right in front of them. The thing is in its infancy there, and it's in its maturity here. And they don't see they're going to it as fast as they can go. And that's the thing about being here. And knowing what it is and what the results are. I remember 40-something years ago in India. But when the TVs were first coming, the first cinemas, the first theaters, they didn't have that stuff. That stuff came in our lifetime. And as soon as it came out, I'd been there a few years, I don't know how many years. And as soon as the cinemas come, then you begin to see these massive billboards. Every time you'd come into a town, there'd be a massive billboard. There would be some guy, he'd have a gun or a knife or something. He's beating up some other guy. And there's this beautiful woman standing there beside him. And I'm thinking, it's the same thing that we've had here in this country for all these years, for 20, 30, 40 years here. Now they're just getting it. And do you know that the rape in India jumped from almost zero to way up. You go back, you Google it, you search it. It got where it was in the newspaper every day, every day, every day. Now tell me what happened.
Yes, sir.
Tell me where it came from. That's Satan. Satan being poured out upon the people in the last days. The same thing that God was doing, Satan was doing in the opposite of it.
Yes, sir.
It's there.
Yes.
I had going to India long before I ever made it to Africa. And Africa, they had polygamy, they had marriage, they had all of that. Well, India didn't have polygamy. And I preached it, and I preached it, and I preached it, and I preached it. I preached it till they dreaded it. I had preachers that went with me everywhere. And so they would hear it over and over and over and over again. In those days, that was the mysteries. Now, it's just the word. Because it's been here since the garden.
Yes, sir.
Okay? It's always been here. It'll always be here until it's finished.
Right.
But actually, in the millennium, Christ will be there with his many-membered bride.
Yes, sir.
So you call it whatever you want to. If you hate the word and you want to get rid of it, it's not going anywhere.
Right.
He's got a many-membered bride. When the fall took place, it became one and many.
Yes, sir.
That's the word of God. It's not going to change for nobody, not my feelings, not your feelings, not how we feel about it. It's not going to change. You can say, I don't want to do it. I don't want that. That's fine. You don't have to want it. You don't have to get married.
That's right.
Right.
You don't have to take number one.
Right.
But just remember, if number one is a believer, if number one is a believer of the Bible,
right,
he's got the right to take as many as he wants.
That's right. Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen.
I don't know where this is coming from, and I'm feeling something. I don't know if it's just me or if it's out there somewhere. I don't know, but I'm not going to stop now. I'm committed.
Amen.
This was prophesied. 33 years before the women began to dress like that. This was the seventh angel messenger coming on the scene and telling the people that they're going to be dressing like a fig leaf. It's going to be like a fig leaf. It's so small. And now a fig leaf will cover more than some of what these bikinis will cover. Now that's exactly right. And they don't even put one in the back anymore. They just run a string. No, that's it. That's the day and age.
Yes, sir.
But this thing was prophesied. This came from our prophet. This was the voice of God telling the people.
Amen.
33 years before it was manifested, what was going to happen?
That's right.
It's not just always been there.
No.
These things are new.
Yes, sir.
These things are new. They're for this day. See, the word of the Lord never fails. See? And let's see. Let me back up a little bit more. Let me just start 37 again. See, did you see the new bathing suits they brought out? Do you know my prediction that women would finally come to fig leaves 33 years ago? And now they got them that's dressed in fig leaves, transparent skirts. I'm not going to say it. The word of the Lord never fails, see? And that was to take place just before the end time. Come to a fig leaf again. And I was reading it in Life magazine. They said 33 years ago, before women took their fall, before the women fell, it was told how they would do it in this day. And here they are. And how they would wear garments like man, see? And how, see, the immorals of the women would drop in this nation. I want you to know, when I first went to Kenya, I've said it, you say, I'm tired of hearing you say it.
I'm sorry.
Twenty years ago, you would have a hard time finding a woman in pants. Okay? In America, what are we going to have to do? What's it going to take to get back there? This is 25. It's going to take almost 100 years, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
It's going to take 100 years
right.
to get to where you were 20 years ago. Where you were 20 years ago. Now, India is just as bad or worse because they got that Punjabi dress. And I preached against that, and I preached against that, and I preached against that. And some of the preachers, they said, brother, that's a dress. I said, brother, those are pants. That might be a dress, but those are pants under the dress. They said, no, that's the undergarment. I said, well, then she needs to hide it because her undergarment is showing. I'm looking at her undergarment. They can make excuses for everything. Yeah. One night I was preaching in Calcutta, and the preacher's daughter had one of them Punjabi dresses, and I done hit it 3 or 4 times every service. I hit it every service because it was like Brother Branham said about California. He said, every year I preach it more and more and more. And he said, every year there's more of it and more of it. He said, they're not stopping. And that's what I said. I said, they're not stopping. And I'm preaching it as hard as I can. And so this man, he's my translator, and his daughter's sitting there, and I've been tearing the thing up. And so this night, I'm preaching against it, and she's smiling. And she's as happy as she can be. And I'm like, well, praise God. She's going to be a believer. And we got done preaching, and I went over to him, and I started saying, brother, tell me about your daughter. Tell me what'd she say? He said, brother, he said, there's nothing wrong with that. He translated it to her that it was okay. He changed what I said and made it okay. And she was just rejoicing. I said, brother, you'll answer to God.
Yes, sir.
I said, I don't care if I'm wrong. Your responsibility is to say what I said.
That's exactly right. Then
you tell them later that you don't believe it.
Right.
You tell them later you don't believe it. But when I say it, you have to say what I said.
Yes, sir.
And then you can tell them, this guy's crazy. We don't believe what he believes. You say whatever you want to say. But at least let them hear what I said.
That's
right. Yeah. 39. I know there's some reason that people are not getting through to Christ. Huh? If they would, they wouldn't act like that. If they're getting to Christ, they're not going to act like it. It's going to change your life. It changes your nature. It changes everything.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not the one normally to say you got it or you don't. But I was talking to a man last night, a man I love and a man I've known for all his life since he was born. And he's a young man now. And he's got all kind of problems. He's all in a mess in every shape, form, and fashion. And I told him, I said, brother, what you need is to get into Christ. I said, you need Christ in your life. And he said, I'm in Christ. I said, no, you're not. He said, I am. Do we have a right to say that? That's a hard thing to say. And that's not something you say to everybody. But you can say that to somebody you love and somebody you know their life.
Amen. Yes,
and I told him. And I said, if you were in Christ, you wouldn't be doing the things that you're doing.
Yes, sir.
That's the difference.
That's right.
You wouldn't be doing that.
Amen.
I asked him, I said, are you going to church anywhere? He said, no, how can I go? I got so many problems. I got so many this. I got so many that. I said, are you reading the message? Are you listening to the message? He said, how can I? I got too many problems. I said, that proves to you, it proves to me that you're not in Christ.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Because if you were in Christ and your problems come, you're going to run to Him.
Yes, sir.
You're going to depend on Him.
Amen.
No matter what you're going through. Don't tell me you're in Christ and you won't read the message. You won't listen to the message. You won't go to church. You won't have fellowship with believers. You'll spend your time with unbelievers and feed off of that.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. If you think this is hard, you just read this message. This message that the prophet has brought, and you'll find out I'm really gentle. I'm really easy right now. Because this man preached the revelation, and he preached it all the way down to the clothes we wear. He preached it all the way down to the thoughts that we have. He preached it all the way down to the places that we go and the people that we hang out with. He preached every aspect of your life. And he said, it calls for a total separation from unbelief.
Amen.
Total separation.
Amen.
Jesus suffered without the gates that he might sanctify his people with his own blood. Sanctification comes from a Greek word compound, which means cleaned and set aside for service. And when God cleans his people with the blood of Jesus, see, he cleans them from the filth of the world and sets them aside for service.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Just look in the mirror.
Amen.
And this is the mirror.
Amen.
This message is the mirror. Do you see Christ living? Because if you don't, then there's something you need to separate. You need to get out of the camp that you're in and get into Christ's camp.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Even to the full gospel people, listen to this. Even to the full gospel people has come right back into that rut that they came out of. When the Pentecostals came out in the early 1900s, and they were speaking in tongues, and they were praising God, and they would worship God, and when the other ones we're just sitting there quiet and don't make no noise. Don't say amen in church. Don't do anything. The Pentecostals were on fire and they were going anywhere. You got a problem? You want me to pray? God's a healer.
Amen.
He can raise the dead. And they called them fanatics in this country. There was a people in the early 1900s, they were on fire for God.
Yes, sir.
They believed God. And God was doing things. You go back. There's not many old timers left, but there's a few testimonies still out there. And people were going, people would be driving along the road. And all of a sudden God would say, go to that house. Pull into that house. There was somebody in need. Or B, they'd be traveling on the road, don't have no money, don't have no place to stay. Spirit would say, stop at that house. They'd go up there, knock on the door. They'd bring them in, put them up for the night, feed them, take care of them.
Amen.
Why? They were led of the Spirit of God.
Yes, sir.
If God could do that under the Pentecostals, can God do that for us?
Amen.
Huh? Can He do it under the fullness of the Spirit? The fullness of the Word? He's the same God.
Amen.
What was the Pentecostal church 40 years ago, 50 years ago? This is in the 60s now. In the 60s, what were they? Huh? They were on fire for God. And all of the churches, they were a reproach. Everybody was against them. All the churches was against them. And you talk about Pentecostals, man, you were talking about trash. They were the worst of the worst. They were blabbering and carrying on. They could even, right out in public, their spirit could get on them. They didn't care what anybody said. There was something going on, and they were loving every minute of it.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
They cursed and damned and ridiculed the churches that they came out of, them denominations. Those Pentecostal people, they condemned that thing that they came out of because it was wrong. God had poured out His Spirit and they had Scripture for it. They had Scripture, Joel 2:28, that God was going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh in the last days. Huh? And there He was doing it. And they recognized it.
Amen.
And they were enjoying the moment.
Yes, sir.
And the other churches were dead as dead could be.
That's right.
God had a move going on, and they didn't want nothing to do with it. That's how it is in every age.
Yes, sir.
That's how it was in the Old Testament. There's nothing new going on.
That's right.
See, what did they do? Just like a dog to its vomit and a sow to its wallah. They turn right back in the same place that they were hewn from. And now their churches is just as filthy as the rest of them. Huh? The Pentecostals. That's right. Just as bad as all the rest of them. Brother Branham said this country rejected God in 1956. Rejected God. The gospel had traveled from the east to the west. And when it got here, it was done. It was finished.
That's
why it was time for redemption to be revealed. That's why it was time for the seals to be taken off. That's right. This was the finish. It was done. There wasn't going to be another revival like that. Not like anything that they had had. This was going to be a spiritual revival. This bride revival was going to be the revelation of Jesus Christ coming forth in the hearts of a people.
Yes.
God revealing Himself.
Yes, sir.
In His fullness, making Himself known.
Amen.
Turned right back to the same place. And now their church is just as filthy as the rest of them. That's right. 41. It was something, as I said this morning, like the people are like Peter said in Matthew 17:4-8, where he said, it's good to be here. Let's build three tabernacles. But the Spirit, see what happens when the Spirit's around?
Yes, sir.
not going to let you do that denominational thing.
That's right.
It's not going to let you go there. It's not going to let us go there.
Right.
No. The Spirit forbids you from those things.
Amen.
It forbids you from the world. It forbids you from unbelief. It forbids you from those things.
Yes, sir.
Amen. The Spirit bade them, do not do it. Said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye Him. And He is the Word. Praise be to God.
Amen.
That's the same invitation today.
Yes, sir.
That's right. That was the preview. Now the thing is happening. Now He has revealed Himself. Now the bride is feeding upon the Word. And anything outside of the Word, she don't want nothing to do with it.
Amen.
And she's watching them. She's watching them now. When Pentecost is over, she's watching them try to get back. And they're inviting her. They're inviting us. They're inviting us to go back with them. Come, we're going to have a prayer line. And we're going to be praying for the people. And we're going to do this and this. And people are passing out. We're praying over them. And they're just passing out. I'm not saying anything bad about it. But I'm just telling you. If the Word's not there, then what's passing out going to prove?
Right.
And how come they never pass out before four or five people are behind them and around them and,
right.
and shaking them?
Yeah.
And,
right.
They don't ever fall out too early. They always wait till somebody gets there to catch them. In the early days, I remember when we first come in the message, and we were in Pentecost.
Yeah.
In those days, we were in Pentecost.
Yeah.
And that's all we knew about it. That's all the further we had come.
Yeah.
But the Word was telling us that when that woman falls out, her clothes don't come up and go. And she, if the Spirit of God puts her down, He's going to put her down decently and in order. And that's something. You think God's big enough to do that?
Yes, sir.
Oh, God's big enough. He sure is. And he's not like get down there and then pull it down, you know, and then you lay your head over and no, it's not like that. I've seen people fall out. I mean, literally fall out. They landed well. They didn't get hurt. And their clothes didn't go out of order. And they didn't lay there and shoo the flies away.
That's right.
See, 43, and we find that on their camp where this great occasion took place, up on Mount Transfiguration, as Peter later called it, the Holy Mountain. Where He met with them. Now, I do not believe that the apostle meant that the mountain was holy. He meant it was a holy God on the mountain. And it isn't the holy church. It's not the holy people. It's the Holy Ghost in the people. And the Holy Ghost is holy. He is your director and your leader.
Yes, sir.
Praise be to God. He's in full control. And when I get out of His camp and I start making the decisions, it's going to show real fast.
That's it.
It's going to show.
Right.
If He's in charge, you're going to get more in the Word and more like the Word and more in love with the Word and more and more and more. It's going to be Him, Him, Him.
Amen.
Listen to this. I see the time. you believe I come all this time? Without seeing the time. Matter of fact, for a little bit there, I didn't even want to look. I said, no, I'm not looking. It might be later than I think, and I don't want to stop. Let's read 44. And we find on this little camp up on the mountain, Transfiguration, when they were commissioned to hear.
Right.
Huh? What was they commissioned to do? Hear. Is that what He said? This is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him. That was a commission. What a commission.
Amen.
Hear ye Him. That's all they had to do. Just hear Him. Praise be to God.
Amen.
See? The only thing they was commissioned to do was to hear the Word. The only thing they seen was not a creed. It wasn't a creed. Huh? It wasn't a tradition, wasn't denomination, wasn't none of that. See?
Right.
See, they never seen nothing else but Jesus, and He is the Word made flesh.
Amen.
First of all, it's all of them disciples, and there's Moses and Elijah and Jesus and everything, and their commission now, hear ye Him.
Right.
And all of a sudden, there's nobody. There's only Jesus. That's it.
Amen.
That's all. They must have been believers.
Yes, sir.
If they weren't believers, they'd have been listening to somebody else. They'd have been doing something else.
Amen.
See? It was to hear the Word. Only thing they seen. I'll drop down now. They never seen nothing else but Jesus, and He was the Word made flesh. How beautiful that is. See? And to the same camp that was in the Garden of Eden. How beautiful that is. To the same camp that was in the Garden of Eden. When God fortified His church in the Garden of Eden, His people. And they had one wall to stay behind. And that was the Word. And they had one shield, one armor, one thing, because God knowed what would defeat the devil, and that's the Word.
Amen.
I'm glad He brought it up. And He brings it up a lot. And He brings up Adam a lot. And I'm going to bring it up pretty soon. The thing has been on me again. And that thing, that idea has been going around about 10 to 15 years. 10 to 15 years, that thing has been going on. And I went a long time and didn't know what to say. And I just left it alone. I didn't agree with it 100%, but I agree with all quotes.
Right.
All quotes. And you've heard a lot here. You've heard a lot. It's been said. Brother Gomes brought a lot of good stuff on the subject. And then don't let me get off on that. Let me just close right here. So that's the problem when you're studying and you're starting another message, then it's hard to preach the message you're preaching because you want to say it so bad. You just want to say it. And I got something I want to say, but I'm not going to mix it in here. I want to save it. So all right. One more time. 46. And in this little camp that they had there, of Peter, James, John, and Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, and in their camp, they seen the heavenly host of the shadow, or the pillar of fire, hanging in this cloud that transfigured the Lord Jesus. And when they were ready to make a denomination, one for the law and one for the prophets and so forth, the voice said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him." Then, of what they was commissioned was just exactly like it was in Eden. Stay with the Word. That's God's camp for His people.
Amen.
That's God's camp.
Right.
That's our camp tonight, is the Word.
Amen.
We've been called out of denomination. We've been called out of the law. We've been called out of tradition. We've been called out of everything into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
That's our camp. That's our camp now, is in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
And He is the Word.
Yes,
and He said, "My words are spirit and they're life."
Amen.
Praise be to God. All right, I'm going to stop right there. And we're going to ask you to stand together with us. Brother Goomba, will you come. God bless you. Love you, brother. God bless you.
I think done is on fire.
Amen.
And I think our hearts are also on fire.
Amen.
And we didn't love it like that. And one of the things that I did is like about that is most of the time is that we've been talking about that. Talking to him about that. And I'm going to read a quote here about that. Just 1 minute. Just one
Amen.
Minute. And the thing is, we really fear to hurt people.
Yes.
We really fear to make enemies. Because you're going to hate me because of saying this, because of me saying this. Mostly it's like that. And I've been talking with him and I've been saying, no. When things are said that are not right, just like the prophet, you remember the prophet? One time I think he was just across his town, Jebus Lahav, just across. And he was there, and this guy was having a show or something, and he was showing the whale.
Yes.
That swallowed Jonah.
Yeah.
And you see, the Bible is untrue.
Uh-huh.
And everybody was there, and they were having. And they were having it. That, yes. And they were having it. It was like a comedian. And the man was saying, it's a lie. This whale cannot swallow a man. And the prophet was there. And that's what he talks about, being ashamed of him. The prophet was there.
Yes.
And he said, he can't do nothing. He can't do. I got to correct this thing before that crowd. Because I'm going to make him happy when I'm going to make him cry. Whatever it is. They're going to hate me. If they stone me, let them stone me. But I'm going to start there. And I'm not going to be ashamed of this one. He stood there and said, this is not this fish that God was talking about. God created a fish. That's all. And everybody kept quiet.
Right. Right.
You love him, you hate him. That's what God requires of us.
Amen.
Most of the times, and we ministers do that. We ministers. And even us, we are ashamed of it. Let me read this and then we pray.
That's somebody was thankful. That he spoke
up. Right. That's right. Paragraph 216. When you are brought before rulers and kings for my name's sake,
Amen.
Take no thought what you shall say, for it will be given to you in that hour. It's not you that speaketh, but my Father that dwelleth in you.
Praise God.
But whosoever is ashamed of me and my word, when you fear that he calls it that ashamed of him. When you fear, and then he says, ashamed of me and my word. In this generation, him will I be ashamed before my Father in the holy ages. God help us not to be ashamed, but help us to be a living testimony.
Amen.
To this message.
Let us pray.
Amen.
That is too strong, Father. But it's... You said we've come of age. We don't need milk, Lord. It sounds like he's talking about clothes, and it sounds like... But it's deeper than that in our hearts, Father. We're not taking it just clothes, a cloth like the religion. That's not how we're taking it. We are taking it that God is speaking a spiritual revelation to the hearts of the members of the bride, Lord.
Amen.
And you're so happy, Father, that you're putting us, each one, Father, in our positions, Lord God, in you. Thank you, Father. We love you. When you do those things, Lord God, we are happy, Father. We know that the Father is speaking to his children. Thank you, Lord, for everything. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.
Amen.
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 Praise God.